All right. Here it is, podcast, February 28th, 2022. As we know, it's Motorhead Monday. So I thought I would play songs that Lemmy wrote for other people. He wrote a lot of songs for Ozzy. Like this one. This would be Lemmy from Motorhead. So, you know, his reach into the world of rock and roll is immense. Even though, you know, of course, Motorhead being his band, but a great songwriter. And you need some. I'm sorry, you need some volume.
Pump it up.
There we go.
No,
sorry about that.
You're good.
But we were just kind of sitting here talking about the Ukraine, of course, because that is the topic.
That's
what everybody's talking about right now.
The world is watching. Yeah.
The world is watching. You know, it's not a good thing. Trust me. It's definitely not a good thing for what's going on inside the Ukraine and Eastern Europe, you know.
Yeah, it's not a good thing, but the, you know, outside of the overall badness of it, there are some individual, you know, good things that are happening, like Zelensky, him being a
leader.
Yeah.
I would say
that's some good leadership.
That's some very good leadership, you know. I mean, I think my favorite quote from him is, "I don't need a ride, I need ammunition."
Mm-hmm.
You know. So let's give it up for the Ukrainian people, too, because they're actually putting up a better fight than was expected by, I think, everybody in the world, and including the Russians.
Yeah, I think the armaments really helped. Well, the military aid that was sent from different countries has definitely helped out a lot. And to the point where it's like any citizen that wants to stay back and fight, like, here's a gun.
We're going to arm you. Come and get it.
Yep. So then once you get past the Ukrainian military, if you do try to take Kiev, then you have to go. And there's a lot of, like, apartment buildings and stuff like that.
It's going to be a bloody, bloody street fighting battle.
And I don't think the Russians have the manpower. The soldiers don't have the morale.
No. And the Ukrainians are fighting for themselves.
They're running out of gas.
They're running out of gas.
Tanks fucking stalled out. Thanks, Biden.
Yeah, thanks.
Fucking gas prices.
Prices are out of control.
I know. Russia can't even afford to make it all the
fill
way to
their tank up.
Kyiv.
Definitely, you know, the events in the world are, you know, all eyes upon Ukraine right now. NATO, of course, has, you know, trying to get as much armament to those guys as possible. I'm not sure how they're going to do it. You know, I mean, they're going to have to take it in, I guess, over the border by land, because I don't think they want to fly into that airspace right now.
Well, I mean, they might be.
You know, maybe somebody, I don't know.
Most of the way there, maybe.
Yeah, at least try to get it in there. We should probably, you know, I mean, we'd been sending arms in there already, but I don't think we sent quite enough or exactly what they needed, you know.
Well, it's good to see the video clips of, like, Ukrainian soldiers with, like, oh, here's a javelin. Like, good. I'm glad we're not giving them, like, a fucking...
here's a law. Got some M1 Grands for you.
You want a Mosin nugget?
But, so the biggest thing, too, is with ground war, too, if the Russians can keep their tanks gassed up, is, you know, that's... You know, armor will changes the ground warfare game intensely, because they just go in there and just blow shit up.
It does, and you can do that, but you still need, like, you know, soldiers to...
You need the soldiers.
...clear out buildings. And,
right.
I mean, you can try to level everything, but he doesn't have the firepower for that, even if you shell, you know, a city for...
But what I feel like is that the Ukrainians may be lanking in the armor divisions.
Armor.
You know, they have a lot of, you know, infantry, but, you know, I think they're...
I don't know.
I'm not really sure how many tanks they have, but I bet you the Russians have more.
Yeah, but it's like, what's the point if, like, half of them, like, the soldiers, like... Because I've seen, like, two sets of things happening as far as the Russian soldiers go.
Right.
There's some of them that, like, have been shooting at civilians and, like, you know, just, like, regular people and stuff. So they definitely know why they're there, and they're, you know, those are... Definitely the combatants. But then there's other video clips of Russian soldiers that essentially get captured, and it's like there's one clip and they let him, this guy called his mom, and it's like the whole thing was like they didn't know. Some of them thought it was a training exercise.
Oh, well, I'm sure they didn't tell them a lot.
You know, yeah, they took him from a different area.
We're just going to bite to Ukraine and maybe we invade.
Yeah. It's a standard practice. They know we're coming. They're fine with you being there.
Yeah, no like, worries.
They're not fine with us being there.
Yeah, they're actually not fine, and they're shooting back.
So it's kind of, easy. There's one string of text messages that was taken off of like a dead Russian soldier's phone, and it was the same idea. He's like texting his mom, and it was like, hey, so I'm not, it's something essentially being like, I'm not practicing like anymore. This is, I'm in Ukraine, like this, basically feel like shit. Like, I don't want to fucking,
do this.
Yeah. But they said that, it's kind of, he's doing the same thing as Stalin. I was like, well, if you turn against your own people, then we're going to kill you.
Yeah. Run forward. If you run back, we're killing you.
Yeah. So there was one instance like that where it's, I'm assuming it's somebody I didn't know exactly what was going on, but he's a Russian soldier, stepped in to get in between something. They killed a woman, then killed the Russian soldier too. The Russians did. So it was like, some of them are like, if you turn against us, then we're going to kill you and just keep going.
Right.
So it's crazy. I don't think he has the morale because it's,
I don't think so either.
A lot of the soldiers don't even want to be there.
Definitely doesn't have, I really don't feel like he has the money either.
No, he's fucking running out of money quick.
Quick. And they've already shut down like his Swift bank accounts, which allows you to trade on the global markets. So they've shut all that down already, which is going to cripple him,
Kicked him off of Etsy. Can't make any more of those Russian nesting dolls.
That's right. No more babushkas.
Yeah. My business.
My business is gone now. I have no more babushkas. I can't even get black yarn.
Care about Soviet Union, but also babushka.
Babushka.
Quality. Yeah. Quality babushkas, though. I will give them
that. But, some people don't know, like, the Ukraine and the Russians have a tumultuous past, needless to say.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
This has been going on for, quite some time.
Conflicts. Yeah. Right. Well, after the fall of the Soviet Union.
Leave a little excerpt from National Geographic here, the history of a little bit of Russia and the Ukraine. It says, the two countries shared heritage goes back for more than thousands of years to a time when Kiev and Ukraine, now the Ukraine capital, are the center of the first Slavic states. Kievan Rus, the birthplace of both Ukraine and Russia in AD 988, Vladimir I, the pagan prince of Novgorod and grand prince of Kiev, accepted the Orthodox Christian faith and was baptized as in the Crimean city of Chernozha. From the moment on, Russian leader Vladimir Putin recently declared Russians and Ukraine are one people, a single whole. So, yet over the past 10 centuries, Ukraine has repeatedly been carved up by competing powers. Mongol warriors from the east conquered Kiev Rus in the 13th century. In the 16th century, Polish and Lithuanian armies invaded from the west. In the 17th century, war between the Polish with Lithuanian Commonwealth and the Tsardom of Russia brought lands to the east of the Dnieper River. Under Russian imperial control, the east became known as the Left Bank. Ukraine lands to the west of the Dnieper or the Right Bank were ruled by Poland. So that's just kind of like what's been just going on, just in a quick snapshot of the history of that area.
Man, the Mongols, that's Mongolia just did a fair amount of invading back in the day.
They did.
Genghis Khan kind of fucking went everywhere.
They ran rampant across the Asian continent for sure, and deep into Eastern Europe.
Yep.
He tried to
stick his dick in everything.
He tried to stick that.
Well,
dick
tried. Every, he did.
He did.
Yeah.
If you're from those areas, you can actually
you got a little bit of Genghis in you.
You got a little Khan in you.
Yeah.
Khan.
Classic.
Yep. But so what's happening there now doesn't seem it's been going on for a while. It's just been
quietly
just building up, and especially after the fall of the Soviet Union. Then all the countries who were like, yeah, we're done with communism, it sucked for us, and decided they were going to be their own sovereign areas. But then you have Putin, who is a relic of
KGB.
Of the KGB Soviet Union, where he thinks he's going to come back in and make the great empire of the Soviet Union again.
I think that's his main motivating factor. I think that's what he wants.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, I can't say definitely, but at this point, I could pretty reasonably say that that's the main component of what his goal is to have the, you know, the reunification of his Soviet style.
Yeah. You know, where he had huge interest across the Eastern European.
Well, you know, he feels like his borders are keep getting pushed back and all these people keep joining NATO and, you know, NATO doesn't like the Russians. So it was kind of created to be like, fuck Russia.
Yeah.
So, so I know that was his, well, fairly, I know that was his plan to want to have his Soviet Union back. But, you know, there was probably also like the last straw was probably the NATO thing for him. I'm just wondering because it seems like with the way this was carried out between like troop morale, you know, equipment failures, just being like spread out too much and not expecting the amount of resistance he did. And then running out of money too. He's trying to funnel stuff into crypto because he's getting sanctioned, like, you know, to fucking.
Yeah, to death.
To death, basically. Yeah. And it just seems like it was really. It was a grand plan that I'm sure he had for a while, but it seemed like it was hastily thrown together and then carried out. It seems really disorganized. Yeah. So
it just sounded like he's like, oh, so they're, I'll call their bluff. You know,
yeah.
You know, I'm not going to tell you the day that I'm going to do it, but
yeah, maybe he didn't expect that much. Well, I know he didn't expect this much resistance.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I still say, let's give it up for the Ukrainian people for fighting for their home country. You know.
Well, I mean, you know, what would you do? Like at some point,
the same. It's like, the same. That's why nobody wants to invade America because we're armed.
Yeah.
We're already armed. We don't have to go to the local police station and and pick up our Kalashnikov.
Yeah.
We are like, no, I'm good. I got some.
Yeah.
I just maybe bring some, drop some ammo off.
I was about to say, I was like, can always use more ammo.
So I needed some ammo.
Yep.
Some sandbags.
Stuff I got.
Some sandbags.
It's like even if they completely took everybody's firearms at once and the whole country was without them, it's like, you know, if I had a lathe and a milling machine, and there are already blueprints that people have, like you can make firearms. You know, people used to do that exclusively in the 1800s.
Yeah, that happens.
You know, when there was already wars and everything, you could
actually loading your own ammunition is not that difficult.
It's not. There is. It's not difficult to do. It's like one of those things. Like it's hard to perfect. Like
it's hard
too.
To perfect.
Like if you want to have the different like loads, like you know, different grain amounts.
You have
and
to.
Then,
you have to definitely have the scale. Do not.
Yeah.
Do not eyeball that shit.
No, it's a horrible idea. You have no consistency in any of the rounds, and maybe you fucking damage your firearm and you know, shit like that. But yeah, it's you can learn it fairly well. I know two people that are really good at it.
My dad did it for a while when I was a kid, and you know, he'd make like the bullets that went inside like a 38 and a 357. He'd load 38s and 357s and shotgun.
Yep.
But he would actually make the bullets for the 38 and the 357, which was fun because, you know, you're melting, you got a lot of that little pot and you're melting lead in it, and then you like dump it into the mold and you wait and you snap them out and bullets fall out. Mm-hmm. You're like, whoa, wow. As a kid, it was like magic to me.
So I was fucking melting pennies on my wood stove. Yeah. Like, fucking parents got pissed about that one because I don't know, it's fun to fucking
melt.
Like,
melt stuff.
Melt shit. I don't know. I was a male child, like melting stuff and lighting stuff on fire.
And taking stuff apart.
Yeah.
That was
no hurting animals, though. I love animals.
Yeah, so I capped a few birds in my day.
Oh.
Yeah. Did some bird capping and a little deer hunting.
I went deer finding.
Yeah.
I just, I never.
I like to call it sitting in the woods.
It's
very cold.
Yeah, cold. It's really early in the morning. You don't want to be up that early.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was
it's like I got more clothes on than I need to have on.
I think the first time I went hunting, I was young. I was probably, I don't know, like 7 or 8. And I went with my dad and his friend. And yeah, wake up early as fuck. And he had a 308, you know, hunting rifle. And those rounds, like if I held a 50 cal now, that's
right.
What those rounds were like. And I was the one that was like, here, you carry the ammo bag. So I was like the caddy that I could walk behind him. And it sucked because we sat out there all morning. I didn't see shit.
Right. Yeah, you're like, what the fuck?
That was my first hunting experience, It was still cool, though, as a kid. Be like, I get to hold the bullets? Fuck yeah.
This is awesome. Yeah.
And you're like, well, we got older, you know, like, of course, me and my cousin, you know, when we were like, they would kind of like use us as dogs, you know. They're like, yeah, you guys set up over here. We're going to set up over here.
Yeah. I know you kids are going to make a bunch of goddamn noise.
And chit chat.
And we actually want to try to get something today. Something,
so we'll let you flush them down to us.
Why not bring the boys out? All right.
Yeah.
We're not going to get anything. Yeah. Which I get that now as an adult.
Yeah. I was like, I never wanted to shoot anything because you had to drag it out yourself. I'm like, that seems heavy.
There's a guy I worked with when I was in the highway department in Vermont. I mean, he always had great stories. He's talking about the first time his son got a deer when he took him out hunting. And he's like, I think he was like 12 or something like that. So they got these little walkie-talkies. And they set up in different places. And they're all,
Red Rover, this is Red Dog.
But, and we're waiting out there for a while, and I wish I could remember more of the story, but it was more than a decade ago when he told me. And he's like, yeah, I heard a shot, go out, and then I heard him over the radio, and he's like, yeah, I got a deer. And he's like, oh, do you need help? And he's like, do you think he's going to have to drag it out?
Right.
You know, and he's like, no, I got it. He's like, so obviously I went down there, I wanted to check it out. He was like, as I'm coming around, I see him dragging it out of the woods. And I was like, and if you see somebody who's dragging something with one hand held behind them, he shot it was pretty small. Like, it was not an adult
trophy
deer,
rack. It wasn't the trophy rack.
No. It was pretty scrawny, like, for what it was. So it's like just the image of him being like, no, I got it.
Not much meat on that one.
Can you imagine, like, oh, you need help? I'm like, no.
I'm good.
Just come walking out casually, dragging it behind you. Like, I forget what it was. It was like a 6-point or fucking something. Like, it wasn't a big year for deer that year. Me, I've never, I never got a deer. I got one. I went hunting sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fishing.
Fishing more. Yeah. I always enjoyed fishing more.
Well, then you can just sit in a boat and drink beer.
That's right. Yeah. That's what I tell people. It's like, go fishing. You're guaranteed to catch something.
Yeah.
Even if it's not fish.
Catch a hangover the next day. Yeah. Sitting out of the damn boat, getting all sunburnt.
Sitting on the shore. We stood on the shore a lot.
Yeah, I did that too.
Sat there casting off the old bank.
Yep. The first fish I caught, I think it was, again, around the same age. And it was all like, I don't know. I was younger than that, because this was before I got a fishing pole.
Yeah.
And there was a brook, or as you would call it, a creek or crick, or whatever your colloquial terminology is. Whatever. It's the thing that's not a river. It's too small. It's like it's about waist high at the most.
Sometimes it dries up in the summertime.
Ours never really dried up. It would get low, but it would never dry up. But me and one of my buddies decided that we wanted to go fishing. We didn't have any fishing rods, so we took a little, like, it was a piece of, like, 1x1, like the square wood, stapled.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Tied and stapled a piece of string around it, you know, wrapped it around, like, stapled it too so it wouldn't come off.
Right.
And then tied a safety pin to the bottom of it.
The old Huckleberry Finn, did you?
Dude, it was Huck Finn as shit, especially being in the middle of nowhere in Vermont, too. I was fucking, like, walking across the street, and it was like,
we're going to go get us some fish.
What are you doing there, Ope? And we went across the street. We didn't have any, like, worms, but we had pieces of ham.
Sandwich,
you know.
Going to go fish for some carp, huh?
We're going to go fish for whatever's in the
whatever we eat. Whatever fish eats ham.
I was not a wildlife expert at the time to be like, this is the proper bait for a... This is a whirling dervish jigger, and we're going to go. We had our 10-pound test line.
We're going
and we got
plugging for the big
mouth. It was a stick and a piece of string and a safety pin and some ham. Yeah. And we each caught a fish, caught a brook trout. It was probably good out of four or five.
Brook trout
was
pretty good.
No, it was enough to pan fry. Yeah. You get a little bit of meat off of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I like brook trout. It's good.
But I still can't believe with a fucking stick and a piece of string, hey. Like old school style, caught a goddamn
there
fish.
There you go, man. You see, you can survive.
Barely. I'm going to need to catch a lot of those.
Fortunately for me, my grandfather, he was like a very avid fisherman. And he taught all the grandkids how, when they first started going fishing with them. When I first started going, he taught us on a cane pole. He would only give us cane poles. He's like, you're too young for the rod and reel. You got to work up to that. First, you got to learn how to work the cane pole and catch them like that, you know? So yeah, we just kind of cane pole off the bank and catch little yellow bellies and some crappie here and there. But he actually caught like his trophy largemouth bass that he caught at Indian Lake.
I like bass.
He caught it on a cane pole just dipping off the shore. In this little place where he knew, and he yanked it out.
Well,
there were
too,
some guys like who were out really bass fishing, you know, in their boat, and they were casting towards the shore, and they're like, "Holy crap! What'd you catch that on?" He goes, "This and some soft crawls." So there you have it. Then I got to my first rod and reel would have been a Zebco, of course. As a kid, I had like a small kid Zebco with the push button.
Oh yeah, no, I had the push button. Yeah.
You know, you didn't have the open face reel yet. No. You know, because that was way too complicated.
I would have fucked that up. I had I don't know what brand it was, but I know it was a DuckTales.
It was just a good old like, you know, bought it at Kmart or something, you know.
And, oh yeah, totally bought it at Kmart. Yeah, absolutely.
Did not have the pocket fisherman from Ronco, even though I was like, man, it's got a knife in it. I can fillet the fish, I can catch it and I can fillet it.
Yeah.
You know, big
it's like you're not Bear Grylls.
There it goes big and my mom. She's like, no, we're not gonna get that.
I'm not getting you in a filleting knife so you can cut yourself open.
But yeah. So, like I said, we did a lot of fishing when I was growing up. My grandparents had a cottage at a lake, and we'd go up there and hang out.
Go up to the cottage.
Just head up to the cottage up there at Indian Lake. It was kind of like a little neighborhood of cottages. So it was funny. You could just walk to the lake. So, good times there, you know. Had like a little bait store that was, you know, a mix of, like, had like miniature golf in the back of it. And,
ooh, sweet.
And then it became a Bass Pro Shop. And
okay.
But you go in there and like buy like, you know, nickel candy and shit, and you go up there for the weekend and just wig out on fish and eating candy.
You know? Mini golfing too?
Little miniature golfing, you know.
I used to like mini golf when I was a kid.
It was kind of an all right course. It was very, very kind of rustic.
Was it rustic? Yeah.
It was very rustic. It was just like, hey, we're gonna build a golf, a little mini golf back here, and out of some 2x4s and that green carpet and grass.
Yeah, all the AstroTurf. Yeah, we had an okay one near where I lived.
But no, like, you know, obstacles that were a windmill or anything.
Oh, not that good. Okay,
that good.
I've been to that type of
it
cheap
wasn't
one.
Even that good.
Been the cheap one. I've been the mediocre one. I didn't go to a nice one until I was an adult when I was stationed in Virginia, and they had, I forget what the fuck it was, but they had a sick ass mini golf thing. It was like three huge courses. It was all like this fucking like huge area, and it was kind of like, I don't know, it was lit up. It was more for like adults to fucking drink and play mini golf.
Right. But when I was real young, up the road, where like we were in what they called, Lakeview.
Okay.
And then there was Russell's Point.
Okay.
And Russell's Point had an old amusement park on it that was like, when I was a kid, it was ending basically.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could ever think about was, I want to go to this amusement park.
Hell yeah.
You know, I could never, and my parents were like, no, we're not going there.
Nah.
I'm like, oh, man, come on. Fuck. It's like, I want to ride that roller coaster I keep seeing.
Sweet.
And then by the time I was actually able to, you know, as a teenager, could go there, it had closed and been abandoned, and now it's gone. You know, it was just probably it was a crap fucking little river, you know, lake amusement park.
Oh, we had
park,
one of those, yeah. Yeah.
Sure, then I think there was like problems with like the teenagers who hung out there and
damn teenage kids.
Damn kids.
Smoking pot in the back of the bathrooms and
smoking their marijuana
giving
and
each other hand jobs.
Back there blowing some weed.
They're
blowing grass.
Yeah.
But so that ended, and of course, you know, as a teenager, you know, it was still fun to go up there and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got older, of course, and so they traveled there less. And then, you know, came a young adult. We would go up there and get the keys every now and then and take the friends up there and party up. And, you know, we wanted to tear the place up. You know, it was a really nice cabin, actually. It was really nice. I had, like, a lot of wood paneling and, you know, just what you would think.
Yeah.
No, I can still smell it. I can still smell it, you know.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah,
the only problem was is the water sucked there. It was, like, full of iron. Like, when you'd get there, you'd have to... like
pennies.
When you get there, you'd have to, like, run all the faucets when you got there, like, to flush them out till it just got clear. But there, you didn't drink that water because it was just so high in iron. It was just like...
Okay.
Just like, oh, you know, it's like you turn in the shower. It's like, yep, get my shower here in the old rotten eggs.
Yeah.
Am I getting clean?
Step out. Like, I am Iron Man.
Exactly. Like the toilet bowl, you know, even though it was always clean, it was just rusted.
Ring. The ring of it always, so you could never scrub off, no matter how hard you try.
Exactly.
You have to get like a floor buffer in there somehow.
But yeah, it was fun going up there. I remember those good old days.
Yeah, amusement park stuff. We had
this came a long way from the Ukraine.
It did. We'll sack you back to it.
Yeah, we'll sack you back that.
We'll bring it around. We'll make a left here soon enough. But I know there's one, like, lower. There's a Santa's Village. I think it's the only amusement park.
I think I actually saw the show I've been watching on YouTube, Defunct Land. He talked about like all the proliferation of like Santa worlds across the United States, man. And Santa
towns.
There's
one in New Hampshire,
and I think he talked about that one. Because I remember him going, I'm like, oh yeah, Jason said something about that once.
Yes, it's not the first time I've mentioned it. Yule log ride. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, so you're getting this big log turd, and you go, like nothing, it was all like kind of how you would imagine it, right. You know, that subpar sort of like thing. But as a kid, it was still cool, because my parents, like, we never really went on road trips, we never took vacation. Like, a vacation, we go to like Ruggles Mine, which was a mine that you could go and then, like, you know, chip rocks.
You're going like to go on vacation, but you still got to work.
Like, I'm a fucking West Virginia coal miner out there just trying to, like, got some quartz. So that was our vacation. I'd go be a miner as a miner. And then, you know, it's we go to this other place called the Flume, which is like caves, a little caving.
Right.
And then, but the bigger trips was the amusement park, Santa's Village, where they had reindeer that you could feed like dried corn to and it'll slobber on you.
I never went anywhere except in that pen.
Yeah.
And walked around. Never pulled a sleigh in its life.
I don't think they're built for it. I don't think they're well maintained enough.
Sad little reindeer.
Yeah, it was definitely...
It's like, the reindeer died, so we got some whitetail in here.
Yeah. This is just a goat with reindeer antlers glued to it. What the hell is going on here? Does it have mange? What the hell is this? No, it wasn't that bad, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Just sucking. Yeah, they had the Yule log ride, which is like the water ride. They're like, this is going to be just like Disney. It's not.
No, it's not.
But yeah, as a kid, that was fun. You get your shitty little knickknacks.
We had a couple of places like that in Ohio. You know, we had two. We still have two major, you know, theme parks there, which is Cedar Point and Kings Island.
Mm-hmm.
But also, when I was growing up, there was a SeaWorld actually in Sandusky too.
Oh, really?
Which was connected to this other kind of like kind of crappy amusement park called Geauga Lake.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like you go to SeaWorld and you know. And see Shamu and whatnot. And, and then you could take the ferry over to, you know, Geauga Island and play in the roller coaster over there, which wasn't as nice as SeaWorld. Mm-hmm. like they picked it up in the deal or something. Like, yeah, we'll maintain it, but we really don't give a shit about it.
That was the standard. It's like, we'll maintain it to a degree, and then, that's it.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get.
And that's like even like with Kings Island, because Kings Island was like going to Cedar Point was like a big deal because you'd have to drive. It was you had to drive about 3 hours.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
To drive up to Sandusky. Yeah. So you had to drive to it. But Kings Island was only like 45 to an hour
that's
drive.
Not bad. Yeah.
So we always went to Kings Island. But I remember like when it was Hanna-Barbera, You know, when they did it, it was all Scooby-Doo.
And Flintstones.
And the banana splits running around and, you know, and all that shit.
That's funny.
And then that era ended and Paramount bought it and it kind of got a little seedy. You know, like Paramount.
Well, they just have a bunch of heroin addicts running around?
No, it got a little, like, the area kind of, like, downrun. And then the park kind of, like, you know, what didn't really make any, like, new rides.
Oh, that sucks.
You know, they weren't making it, or they had problems with, like, rides that they had made. And, like, they had this one that was a suspending one, like, you're in a suspending car, and it was called the Bat.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they didn't think about, like, the trees getting bigger.
Oh, no.
So, like some of the, like, the cars would be like, they get whipped by branches. And one time, one of the cars actually flew, like, they were nobody was riding it, but they were testing it before the park had opened.
Yeah.
And they were running it, and one of the cars broke free and flew across the park.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Fortunately, like I said, they were just testing it. Thank God they tested it.
That's a
so they ended up like failed. Yeah, failed. They closed that ride down because it was apparently, you know, I remember riding it as a kid. I rode it.
Say, unless your only life goal is to be a stunt driver at some point in your life, this is great. This gives me the tools I need for the career of my future.
But so then it, like I said, then it kind of like got a little dirty.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was kind of some decline. And then actually the people who owned Cedar Point ended up buying it. So now they monopolize, like, the amusement parks in Ohio, you know. But they do a better job, actually. The Cedar Point folks actually do a better job.
Picking up more than it did before.
And they went, like, and that company bought, like, Knott's Berry Farm and a couple other amusement parks across the United States. So they actually do a pretty good job. And Cedar Point usually keeps themselves pretty relevant. You know, they will take old rides down.
Hell yeah.
You know, put new rides up and not afraid to change. And it's right there on Lake Erie, so it's fun.
Oh, okay.
There you go. A little plug for Cedar Point.
That's near the border then, near Pennsylvania. Shit.
Well, you're right there in the...
Yeah, in the little...
Right between Toledo and Cleveland.
Holy Toledo.
Yeah, so that's where you want to live if you're going to live up there. Don't live in Toledo and don't live in Cleveland. Live in Sandusky.
Yeah. Both live,
Still kind of a small town.
Still not Detroit.
It's where Tommy Boy. That's where Tommy Boy was from.
Fat guy in a little coat.
Tommy Boy was from. They actually, I knew the factory where they shot some of that at. But they were only there for, like I talked to people who, like, my wife's aunt and uncle live up there, and they're like, yeah, they're here for about 2 weeks, and they were gone. They only, like, did all the outside scenes around the buildings.
Yeah, they tried
to
shoot it pretty quick. Yeah.
And got the hell out.
Yeah. Time is money.
Yeah, time is money. I was like, yeah, that sounds about right.
They were, this is random as shit. But, I think I've told them this before. Michael J. Fox, he lives in the Vermont area in Claremont, New Hampshire, where my mom lives. There's a big clock tower there.
Right.
And, like a straight stretch near where the green is and, Claremont. And Michael J. Fox is trying to get that to be the scene where they shot, like, the clock tower scene DeLorean's going and Doc's up there trying to plug the shit back together.
Right.
Marty! But they're like, no, we're going to shoot in California. We're going to shoot in LA. We're just going to not do that. It was like, damn it.
Yeah, we're
going to
build
a
set.
Yeah, like it
actually,
been that cool.
Actually, I think Hill Valley was a reused
Hilldale.
Set. It was actually like a reused set.
Yeah,
like they'd used it like in a couple other movies and or
they'll
TV
do that. Yeah, they'll
like
reuse
that,
sets instead of building one from the ground up. Yeah,
well, which I think really added kind of the charm of that movie because you knew that it was. It was Hollywood.
Oh, it's still, you know? Like, I can't pick a favorite trilogy. It's too hard, but that's up there, you know, Back to
the
Future trilogy. That's a big part of my childhood. Yeah, it's like
and, you know, and smart on their part for, you know, reviving a lot of those old sets like the Western
towns.
Yeah,
it's cool as shit.
And, you know.
Yeah. Just don't be like on the set of Rust and go capping people, you know?
Yeah,
don't get too crazy with the live ammo.
Don't get too crazy with the... I didn't shoot them. Wasn't me. I don't know anything about guns.
Talk the hammer
it's
back.
It's like, you're... It's like... Matter if you're an actor or not, if you have to fucking deal with a gun, you should know everything about them.
Well,
you know, many actors actually school themselves on proper weapon handling, not just here you go, Mr. Baldwin, here's your loaded weapon. Should I point it at somebody? Absolutely.
Okay. I'll take the stance on that one of saying that, no, if I was the armorer, I would not trust any of these fucking
idiots.
People who have, like, this is the only time they will ever interact with guns in their life.
Yeah.
Baldwin doesn't have a fucking firearm on his own. I'll bet that right now that he doesn't have his own
firearms. He hires people with firearms.
Correct. So he has little to no experience with them. Some actors do. Keanu Reeves, really good at handling weapons, which is crazy because he's fucking Neo. So it's maybe he can wall run, and you know, maybe he knows bullet time. And we don't know
yet.
Seems
like a really nice guy.
Yeah, actually, he does.
Sometimes I'm like, it seems all right. You know?
Hey, man.
A very humble man. Good
Speed,
for him.
Still a fucking great movie. I don't give a shit. Him and Sandra Bullock, perfect fucking
cast.
Dennis
Hopper.
Dennis Hopper.
God, I love that guy.
Pop quiz, hot shot. Great villain. Oh, man, I was sad when he died.
Oh, yeah. Hopper was one of my favorites.
Great
actually.
Actor.
One of my favorites.
But no, not everybody's... Yeah, Easy Rider.
And then Blue Velvet, Frank Booth. Don't you fucking look at me!
I would
what
say
a weird,
it's like
interesting movie.
He's no like Gary Oldman. No. I feel like he was on track to be like a Gary Oldman.
Yeah, and then there was
not far
Force
behind
Apocalypse
him.
Now.
Yep.
Which he was great in that as the photographer, and they said
hell
basically
yeah.
he showed up and he was like completely like on cocaine and
well
and like
I mean,
and to the point where like they're
it.
Like here's your script, Mr.
A lot
Hopper.
Of people are on drugs.
Here's your script, Mr. Hopper, and then. Francis Ford Coppola even said, he goes, when Hopper came on scene, he goes, everything he said was not in the script. He's like, he just started going and we just filmed it. You know?
Sometimes that works, though.
Sometimes that works, you know.
That's
so,
the best thing for
like,
it.
We just filmed Dennis is what we did.
Right. It's not so much that he read the script. It was so much that he showed up for a camera event.
Yeah, which you know, people may not know that, you know, Keanu Reeves actually worked with Dennis Hopper in another movie. And,
what movie was that?
And Crispin Glover, which was called
oh,
River's
yeah.
Edge.
And oh, Dennis, wait a minute. No, I did see that movie.
Yeah, and Dennis Hopper played
yeah.
the pot the dealer other, who yep. who loved his blow-up doll.
Damn, I totally forgot about
yeah.
that fucking movie.
And then here they are together in Speed. I'm like, eh,
that makes sense. Yeah. No, that was a great cast. So
that
not
was a
everybody,
great movie too. I really liked yeah. that movie a lot too. You know.
Yeah, that was
very,
a cool
it was
movie.
Like
I saw
based
that
on
one
a true story about a guy who choked out his girlfriend down by the river, and mm-hmm. everybody was like, "Whoa,
living in a van down by the river." See, Tommy Boy. All right, but no, it's like, but not everybody's Keanu Reeves, right? No. Some people are Alec Baldwin.
Right.
So no, so as an armorer, I would not trust some of these motherfuckers around any sort of firearm, even if it just had goddamn blanks in it. And you're like, right. you're somehow still right. going to hurt yourself with this. So guess what? We're gonna break this down Barney style. We're gonna write it in crayon for you, so you can't fuck it
yeah.
up. That would be my attitude towards the whole thing. Like,
exactly.
I don't want you touching this unless it's Keanu Reeves. They'd be like, all right, you got a brother? Here you go. Here's your fucking shit.
Right.
You know what to do. Let me know if you need anything. All right. You're
yeah.
like, I know Kung Fu. Like,
I
know man.
Yeah,
I know.
I
get it.
I get yeah, you're awesome. I know you were Jack Ryan for one movie.
You came a long way since Bill and Ted. I'll say that. Long road you have traveled, sir.
Very true. All right. Let's take a break here.
Yeah, we'll take a 30. We'll get back to the Ukraine.
We'll
after
get back
this.
To the Ukraine after this. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find maybe another Motorhead song for us that was written but sang by somebody else. Google's kind of being kind of
oh,
a bitch.
Oh, they're putting cover songs up there ahead
well,
of the other shit?
Well, I don't understand, you know. It's like I typed it up on my phone and it gave me like a whole list and now it's like, what the fuck? Come on. Like, I can do another Ozzy one, you know.
Okay, like, yeah. Well, it's Motorhead Monday. I mean,
like,
I get...
It is Motorhead Monday, so...
One more Motorhead.
Let's get to the song here.
How will I know it's Motorhead Monday if we're not playing Motorhead?
All right. But these are songs that Lemmy wrote for, you know, basically for Ozzy, so...
Yep. Trick question. Lemmy is God.
Thank you.
Razor. We already did that.
Yeah. Well, it's the Ozzy version.
Yeah.
Push the play button.
Bada bing, bada bing.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Hey, let me see
go.
Your tits.
Hey, there's a commercial.
Hey, let's I'm the governor.
Hey.
You can't
I'm
fire
part
me.
Part of the Democratic Party.
I'm on the good side. No, you're not. Not anymore, dipshit. Have fun with your lack of book sales.
Yeah. Enjoy your time. Now you're irrelevant.
Yep. Send him to the front lines.
But again, it's Motorhead money. These are songs that, Ozzy wrote. I mean, I'm sorry, but that Lemmy wrote for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Ozzy being his biggest fan, he wrote quite a few songs for Ozzy, this one.
That man is drugs.
Hellraiser. I like Ozzy's version.
That's a great song.
I do actually, Lemmy wrote the damn song, so they record it. Which their version they did on actually the Hellraiser soundtrack.
Mm.
And one of them. I'm not going to say the first one, but definitely one of them.
Yep. This goes out to the blue and yellow.
That's right, to the blue and yellow, man. Go race some hell.
Yep.
Fuck those dirty Russians.
Yep.